From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. It is exceedingly rare these days to see officials from both major political parties in the United States agreeing on anything. But recently, the attorneys general from nearly all states in the U.S., Democratic and Republican, came together to announce a major lawsuit against Google over antitrust violations. That suit followed from the Federal Trade Commission's lawsuit against the social media company Facebook, also over antitrust violations. The FTC lawsuit contends that Facebook needs to separate from its recent major acquisitions of Instagram and WhatsApp. Big corporations gobbling up their competition has long been a problem in the United States, but for years, antitrust laws on the books have simply not been applied or enforced. Until now. My guest is Mark Jarsulek, chief economist at the Center for American Progress. He's worked on economic policy matters as deputy staff director and chief economist at the Joint Economic Committee, also as chief economist at the Senate Banking Committee. He's practiced antitrust and securities law at the Federal Trade Commission, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and in private practice. He was also a professor of economics at the University of Notre Dame, and his latest book is Anatomy of a Financial Crisis. Welcome to the program, Mark.
Thank you, Sonali. Delighted to be here.
So first, let's talk about the Federal Trade Commission's lawsuit against Facebook. That was the one that came first. What is that suit based on? And is it basically building on the House report that came out in October about antitrust violations by big tech companies like Facebook?
Well, I think the House report did a good job of summarizing some of the issues with respect to Facebook, but I'm pretty sure that the people at the Federal Trade Commission were preparing that suit well in advance of the report. But both the suit and the House report say something quite similar, and that is that Facebook has built for itself monopoly power in social networks, right? That is, it has well over 2 billion users, I believe. And it's very unlikely or it's very difficult for anyone else to enter that particular digital area. And as a consequence of holding that kind of monopoly in social networks, Facebook therefore has a great deal of market power in the area where they actually earn revenue, which is online advertising. So the scene that's set in both the Federal Trade Commission complaint and in the House report is that here's a company in a particular area of digital commerce, which has a great deal of market power. And then even though the Facebook had built that kind of platform and with that kind of power, it has subsequently taken actions to prevent competitors from eroding its monopoly position. And that's a violation of antitrust law. And the actions that Facebook is being challenged on are a couple in the lawsuit by the FTC are a couple of acquisitions. They acquired both WhatsApp, which is a messaging application, and Instagram, which is a kind of video photo sharing application. And an interesting bit of information from the House report based on internal documents, which they subpoenaed from Facebook, is that the people who are running Facebook were quite conscious of what they were doing. They seemed to recognize that WhatsApp, which had about 450 million users, was based on a business model that didn't require advertising, had modest fees, did more to protect people's privacy, was a threat to Facebook, especially Facebook's own messenger, and that Instagram was in the position of building an alternative network, which could potentially in the long term erode Facebook's monopoly power. So the reason for the FTC to bring the suit is to say, look, these acquisitions really strengthened monopoly, didn't do anything to benefit competition or consumers, and therefore should be rescinded.
And that this lawsuit was also done in cooperation with attorneys general of most states?
Well, the FTC suit was brought by the FTC, but there are now several lawsuits directed at, in particular, at Google, brought by state attorneys general and by the Department of Justice.
I see. So just to clarify, though, the FTC says on its website that the lawsuit follows an investigation by the FTC's Technology Enforcement Division that got close cooperation from attorneys general around the country. So I suppose that they are at least, sort of offering some sort of support for this lawsuit. So let's turn to the Google case. The Google case, it was brought directly by attorneys general. And as I mentioned, it's quite rare to see political figures, officials from both parties join together and agree on something these days. But they agree that Google, and you know, this is 50 states, state attorneys general, agree that Google is violating antitrust laws. Tell me about this law. How is it different from the FTC lawsuit against Facebook?
Yes. Well, the suits against Google are based on different kinds of market dominance and different kinds of behavior. One of the things being challenged in the suits against Google is the way that they behaved given the market power they have in online search and advertising. Something like 90% of all searches, internet searches, go through the Google search engine. And this gives them an enormous amount of power, because that gives them a major platform in which they can sell online advertising. It also allows them to understand a great deal about the behavior of the people who are doing searches, which they can then use to make advertising more effective and therefore increase their revenue. But one of the issues that's been raised with respect to the way that Google has proceeded to use its online search an online advertising business, is that Google has not been satisfied with attracting people on the basis of the superior performance of its search engine. It's also taken steps to make sure that people use it. For example, they paid a great deal of money to Apple to make the Google search engine the default on Apple iOS. They've done, because they control the Android operating system, which is used in a lot of cell phones and in other digital devices, they've forced people who are using Android to include both Google search and the Chrome web browser as kind of defaults on their devices. And that's considered, they're doing that as a way to drive use, to continue to drive use toward the Google search engine, and therefore maintain their market dominance. And the suits also show that, or also allege, that Google has given preference to its own kind of vertical search engines, right? So that you can think of vertical search engines as things like Kayak or Yelp. Google has, in some instances, its own products that do the same thing. And these suits allege that what Google has done is give preference to its own services when people search and look for these kinds of vertical local search products. And also potentially taken data from those services and use it in services of its own. So there's one set of claims against Google, that is that it has a market power in search, and it's taken anti-competitive steps to strengthen and preserve its monopoly.
So when you say that the searches are tend towards or show favoritism towards Google's own services, does that basically mean that even non-tech players in the marketplace are at a disadvantage?
Yeah, well, I mean, the people who are disadvantaged by this are the people who are, you know, searching for the best possible source of information. But for example, if you're, you're providing specialized information about local businesses or local services, local commodities, and when someone goes on Google and tries to find that information and are directed not to your site, but to a Google site, which may not be as well, may not function as well, Google benefits from that because it drives more traffic and gives them more ad revenue. But you don't benefit because you're not getting to the place that may in fact be better for you.
Right. And so this is one aspect that greatly suffers is access to information and even independent content creators. This is something that many, I think, people have rightly pointed out. Both Facebook and Google's anti-competitive practices also do much to contribute to the kind of political polarization that we face in a nation. Would you say that the harm to democracy is also part of what these big tech companies engage in by, you know, preferencing things that drive profit rather than fit the mold of what the user wants?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are several ways in which people are harmed by the fact that they don't have alternatives to these very big corporations that are dominant in particular areas. With respect to Facebook, I think it is the case that you can describe their business model as surveillance that leads to advertising. Most people don't know that they're actually being followed around the internet by Facebook to the extent that Facebook is able to observe where they go on the web and what they do when they're there, and then compile that information and sell it off to advertisers. Right, so that's a kind of thing that people might want to avoid if they were more conscious of what was being done with their personal data. But as long as Facebook is the dominant social networking platform, hard to avoid that.
If Facebook and Google are being held accountable under existing antitrust laws, who is next? Congress has recently had hearings with the CEOs of the top four big tech companies that include, for example, Jeff Bezos, CEO of Amazon. Is Amazon next?
Well, it's hard to predict where antitrust enforcers might go next, but if you turn back to the House report, you'll see that both Amazon and Apple were included as in the report and in the investigations that were done by the House committee staff. And in both cases, they identified what they thought were difficulties, that were created by the exercise of monopoly power by both those entities. So in the case of Amazon, there was some evidence presented in the report that Amazon preferenced it operates a platform where it sells things and third parties sell things, that Amazon might its own sales as opposed to that of third-party people who appear on that platform. So there is a kind of conflict of interest where Amazon is a seller and it's also providing a platform for other people who are sellers, and it's directing the search engine that delivers suggested sales to consumers who want to buy things online. So that conflict of interest between being an operator of a platform and being someone who's competing with other sellers on the platform looks like it may produce anti-competitive harm.
And of course, if Google simply operated as a search engine, which is what it started out as, this wouldn't be an issue, right? If it simply had just carried out its a straightforward service on the internet for being a good search engine without any kind of algorithmic preferences, without also being part of the sort of advertising world and this buying and selling marketplace world, we wouldn't be having this conversation.
I agree that if Amazon were in fact just providing a platform for others and not a competing seller, then it's very likely that the people who are using Amazon as an online source of goods and services would do better, because they would be dealing with a platform rather than with a platform in which the broker, the operator, had a kind of conflict of interest. And it's also, and just to kind of complete the circle here, the House report also pointed to the fact that Apple, which operates, which develops the operating system that runs iPhones and iPads, and limits the ability of people to add apps to their phones to purchases through the App Store, which is on iPhones and iPads, may in fact be limiting the ability of other people to get to consumers through the App Store in ways that disadvantages them, right? For example, Apple has a music service, but other music services like Spotify that want to sell to consumers have to pay Apple a fee in order to reach those consumers. That is, Apple gets to influence the price. And it's also the case that Apple doesn't let the users who buy alternative services through the App Store to transact directly with the seller of those services, so that they have a kind of, they get the information about what the consumers are doing and what they want, but they also prevent the seller from going to the consumer and saying, hey, if you do, you know, buy directly from me, you might get a lower price because we won't have to pay fees to Apple through its App Store. So there are issues, not just with Google and Facebook, but with the other internet platforms, including Amazon and potentially Apple. And I think it will be interesting to see, and I would expect to see in the incoming administration, much closer looks at these kinds of behaviors on digital platforms and potentially investigations and attempts to seek antitrust remedies.
Mark, why are these lawsuits coming now? Is it just that the government regulators and state, both at the federal and the state level, are finally seeing the writing on the wall? I mean, you know, on the one hand, it is quite amazing to see antitrust laws finally being enforced and charges being brought and lawsuits being filed. On the other hand, it seems like they should have done this a long time ago.
Well, I mean, it's the case that there have been some decisions which, in retrospect, can be questioned, which are now trying to be remedied. That is, the FTC was able to review the WhatsApp and the Instagram acquisitions by Facebook before they happened, and passed on them, and said they didn't think there would be any kind of anti-competitive outcome. And then now is coming back and saying, essentially, look, we made an error. And it's good that they did that. But I think it's also the case that there's been a lot of both academic work and advocacy work about people who are concerned about the fact that, A, these, you know, the pervasiveness of non-competitive markets in the U.S. advantages the owners of companies and costs everybody else a whole lot of money. And I think that there's really good evidence, some of which we've developed at the Center for American Progress, that there are lots of large corporations that are earning really non-competitive rates of return, that is higher than competitive rates of return, because they do have this kind of market power based on barriers to entry. And I think there's also a growing concern that these very large and difficult to influence corporations, which don't give people alternatives, like Facebook or Google and YouTube, say, for the kinds of things they provide, are able to, you know, to execute business behavior, which has widespread social implications and which people, you know, kind of get trapped in and are subject to. That is, if you write algorithms that are designed to direct people towards increased use, right, which I think that that's, you know, these advertising-based businesses are pushed to do, then you're, you know, you feel that, you know, it's in your business interest to make sure that people see as much inflammatory information as possible, because that's going to, you know, because that's going to keep them engaged. So you identify the kinds of things that pique their interest, and then you give them more of it, and you monitor how they respond, and tailor what they see and what's presented to them, in order to keep them engaged. And the effects of that can be, you know, quite negative.
Well, finally, Mark, do these lawsuits depend on which administration is in the White House? I mean, President Trump has had a big beef with big tech, mostly Twitter, mostly Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, and his interest with big tech seems to stop there. Incoming President Joe Biden doesn't seem to have that position, but I imagine that these particular lawsuits through the FTC and the AG's lawsuits are independent of who's in the White House and will continue, just move through the process?
I mean, these lawsuits have been filed. I think that it's very likely that they will be pursued with vigor. I think you're right to say that the emphasis on antitrust and antitrust enforcement varies depending on the administration that's in power. There have been instances in the past where, you know, successful cases have been brought and then essentially kind of dropped when administrations have changed. Hmm. But I would expect that since the Biden administration is focused on things that that would have good implications for working households, that an emphasis on enforcing the law in a way that reduces the power of large corporations and therefore reduces their ability to earn really high profits at other people's expense, and also gives them the opportunity, because their business is insulated, to pursue business models which have kind of unpleasant social implications without being challenged by new entrants who might offer people a kind of progressive alternative. Because I think the incoming administration has those things in mind, I would expect to see pretty vigorous enforcement of antitrust laws. Mm-hmm. The corporations are not, without their ability to defend themselves. I mean, these cases have to be brought in federal court. And these are very wealthy corporations who will have unlimited resources to present legal defenses. So it's not like someone's going to roll over them without them having to have their say. But I think that the facts presented in the House report and that have been developed by independent academics and advocates over a fairly long period of time suggests that there are real issues here. And I would expect some of these suits, perhaps not all of them, but brought by the FTC and the state AGs and the Department of Justice to succeed. I mean, it may take some time because these proceedings sometimes take a long time. But I would expect these proceedings to produce results. And I would hope that with good antitrust leadership in the incoming administration, other kinds of competitive problems will be addressed with a certain kind of vigor.
Right. Mark, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. We'll post a link to your articles in the Center for American Progress on this issue from our website. Good luck to you.
Oh, thank you. Delightful to talk to you.
My guest has been Mark Jarsulik, Chief Economist at the Center for American Progress. He's worked on economic policy matters as a Deputy Staff Director and Chief Economist at the Joint Economic Committee, and also Chief Economist at the Senate Banking Committee. He's practiced antitrust and securities law at the Federal Trade Commission, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and in private practice. We've been discussing several new antitrust lawsuits against big tech companies like Facebook and Google. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingup@sonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.